Good morning, everyone. Retired Pastor Brian Emmett here, filling in for hardworking Pastor Alex, who explained why I'm filling in for him this morning, and glad to be able to do that. I want to add my welcome to all of you, whether you're joining us here in person or online. We're glad you're here. This is an exciting time to be at Chatham Community Church, and whether you're brand new, relatively new, or a regular, welcome. Come on in. Make yourself at home. Check things out. Get involved. We're here now in the second half of August, getting ready to change seasons. Summer's drawing to an end. In many ways, September feels more like the beginning of a new year than January. Fall also launches our church into a new season of worship and work. We're looking forward to our fall kickoff on Sunday, September 7th, and want to use these next three Sundays to sort of get us ready and psyched for that and for a new season of fruitful work together. As you may know, our church is in the first year of a three-year plan, and so for these next three Sundays, this morning and then the two following Sundays, we want to revisit the top-line goals for our church over these next 3 years. And the top-line summary of that three-year plan, as you can see on the screen, the short and sweet version of it is force multipliers for good. And you can see the pulley system, and you have happy memories of simple mechanics in high school physics, or whenever you learned about mechanical advantage and force multiplication. That's what we want our church to be, an expression of God's good kingdom, a force for goodness, of the goodness of God in Chatham County, and an eager partner and supporter of anyone and everyone and all who seek God's good for Chatham County and for the world. So over these next 3 weeks, we'll review three key goals of our three-year plan, and they're connecting people to God and to each other, developing many and more authentic followers of Jesus, and engaging our world for more and more good. And so this morning, we're looking at connecting people to God and to each other. And it's great that today is a baptism Sunday. Baptism gives witness. It dramatizes what it means to connect to God through Jesus Christ and in Christ to be connected to others. So this morning, Piper was baptized. And by doing that, she gave witness to the reality that in and through Jesus, she has been brought out of death and raised up into new life through the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus. She's publicly given witness to her faith and allegiance to Jesus as Lord. She's been adopted into God's family, incorporated into the body of Christ. She's begun a whole life characterized by repentance, faith in Jesus, and commitment to learning and putting into practice everything that Jesus commands his people. She's been gifted with the Holy Spirit and now joins with us in following and serving Jesus, our King. You know, we can think of baptism in another way as well. It's a kind of naturalization ceremony for new citizens of God's kingdom. Piper now joins us as dual citizens, citizens of the United States or some other earthly country, and citizens of Christ's kingdom. And there's even more. We're not just citizens of God's kingdom. It's also like we've become members of the diplomatic corps of the kingdom of God. Say good morning to one of your fellow foreign service officers. And I'll unpack that picture a little more as we go this morning. Now, this morning, we're listening to a small section from the end of Paul's letter to the new Christian community in the ancient city of Colossae, which is located in what we now think of as modern-day Turkey. Our Master Jesus has called and appointed Paul as an apostle. It's like being an official messenger or herald, like a roving ambassador for the kingdom of God. And Paul traveled throughout the Eastern Mediterranean world, the world of the Roman Empire, proclaiming the good news of Jesus, God's King, and God's kingdom, and planting communities of Christ followers everywhere he could. He didn't found this little church in Colossae. His ministry partner and Colossae native, Epaphras, did that. But Paul shared in the responsibility for the care and oversight and formation of that fledgling community of Christ followers, and that's why he wrote them this letter. Paul preached the good news, the gospel, that Jesus is Lord. Jesus is King. Gospel is a word that means good news, but it's not like the way we moderns think about the news when we turn on our TVs or check our phones or whatever. In Paul's time, gospel was the public proclamation that a great victory had been won. Something significant had been accomplished. Gospel didn't mean merely something spiritual or heavenly. Gospel, good news, meant that something big had happened that has changed and will keep changing life from here on forward. When Paul preached the good news of Jesus the Messiah, he wasn't offering a spiritual path to an otherworldly heaven. He was proclaiming Jesus as Lord of heaven and earth, announcing that in Jesus, God's kingdom was breaking in upon the whole world in fresh and very unexpected ways. So here's our passage for this morning, right from almost the end of Paul's letter to the church in Colossae. He wrote, "Devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful and thankful. And pray for us too, that God may open a door for our message so that we may proclaim the mystery of Christ, for which I am in chains. Pray that I may proclaim it clearly as I should. Be wise in the way you act toward outsiders. Make the most of every opportunity. Let your conversation be always full of grace, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how to answer everyone." Now, at first, this might sound like good standard issue spiritual advice. Be prayerful, alert, thankful, look for opportunities to share the good news, be wise, gracious, responsive, all good. But then there's also this. Paul speaks of the gospel for which I am in chains. And just a few sentences later, this. "A fellow prisoner, Aristarchus, sends you his greetings." And Paul concludes his letter. This is from the very last sentence of this letter. "Remember my chains." What's going on? What's all this business about chains and prisoners, all for proclaiming the good news, the gospel? Now, Paul's not asking for a pity party for himself and Aristarchus. He's reminding his brothers and sisters in Christ of their identity as dual citizens and representatives of Christ the King. He's reminding them of the challenges they face as they seek to navigate the tensions and conflicts of being citizens of Christ's kingdom and of Caesar's Roman Empire. We can be grateful that we don't face chains and prisons for proclaiming Christ. But even though we are not in chains ourselves, we should remember our many, many, many brothers and sisters all around the world who are. In Paul's world, no one would throw you into jail for saying something like, "Believe in Jesus so that your sins will be forgiven and you will go to heaven instead of hell when you die." The world of that time was filled with all kinds of so-called gods making all kinds of promises. People might have agreed or disagreed with you, but they wouldn't have thrown you into jail for saying that. So to understand why Paul was in chains, and not just once, but multiple times, we have to back up a little bit into his letter. Earlier, he reminded the believers in Colossae to always be thankful to God because the Father has qualified you to share in the inheritance of his holy people in the kingdom of light. For he has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves. Hear that? See that? Kingdom language. Traveling throughout the Roman Empire, proclaiming the good news that there is a king other than Caesar and a kingdom other than the Roman Empire, that could get you in chains. And there's more. The good news isn't only about a kingdom, even more, it's about the king. A king like no other the world has ever known or imagined. Here's just a small sample of how Paul describes King Jesus. The Son is the image of the invisible God. In him, all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities, all things have been created through him and for him. In him, all things hold together. So the gospel, the good news that Paul proclaimed and which has been entrusted to us here today, is the message that Jesus, the Messiah, is Lord of lords and King of kings. The good news challenges the thrones, powers, rulers, and authorities that claim that they alone are the ones in charge, that they are what hold all things together. Now, let me pause a moment and make clear that the kingdom language we hear from Paul and throughout the New Testament is not a political proposal. It's not saying that we should be governed by a monarch. Neither is it our job to take over or take control or to establish and enforce the kingdom of God through human beings. God's kingdom cannot be imposed. It can only be received. God's kingdom cannot be imposed. It can only be received through faith and allegiance to Jesus, the King. Jesus alone is Lord and King, and that means no one else is. No political or religious leader or party, no country or form of government. Jesus is Lord, and whatever thrones, powers, rulers, and authorities there may be, their authority is derived from Jesus, and they are fully accountable before him about how they use what has been entrusted to them. And one of our jobs is to remind them regularly and repeatedly of this accountability. As I said earlier, when we're baptized, we not only become members of God's family, of Christ's body, the church, it's also as if we become representatives of our King and his kingdom, what I'm calling members of Christ's diplomatic corps. Think of what ambassadors and envoys and diplomats do. First, we are posted, we're sent by our government to a particular place. And we're sent there to build relationships and friendships, to establish all kinds of connections between our government and the country to which we've been posted. We are to immerse ourselves in the local culture, learn their language and customs, eat their cuisine, get to know their history, listen to their stories, and learn to sing their songs. And we are to invite them in, invite them to taste and see a bit of what life is like in the kingdom of light. Think about it. If you're in Paris or Bogota or Cairo and you enter the grounds of the United States Embassy, where are you? In the United States. In a similar way, maybe when someone comes here to 1685 Andrew Store Road in Chapel Hill, North Carolina, USA, where are they? On kingdom of ground, kingdom of God territory, at least a small sampling of it. Kind of changes the way we think about going to church, huh? When we invite family, friends, neighbors to join us for kickoff Sunday or any Sunday, we're inviting them to learn about and explore what it means when Jesus is worshiped and served as Lord wholeheartedly with great gratitude and joy. Our job is to communicate something of God's truth and demonstrate something of God's love, the truth and love that are the hallmarks of the kingdom of God's beloved Son, Jesus. What kind of life becomes possible when we are wisely governed by the King who is patient, kind, good, compassionate, just? A King who, instead of punishing his enemies, instead of seeking revenge and retribution, willingly gives his life for them in order to transform his enemies into his friends. What is it like to be ruled all the way up, all the way down, and all the way through by the God who is love? Kind of changes the way we think about going to church, huh? And when we are out and about at work, at school, in the neighborhood, interacting with friends, family, and neighbors, we're representing our King and his kingdom. The people to whom we have been sent as diplomats don't have to come to the embassy building here. Their early connections to Christ the King can happen over coffee, on a walk, while volunteering together. What happens here is that we learn and are shaped as followers and representatives of Jesus so that when we go from here out there, the King and his kingdom go with us. The goal is not to build a larger and larger and grander embassy. It is to penetrate the whole world with the good news that Jesus Christ is Lord, that his kingdom is already here and now actively at work all around, and that they are invited by King Jesus, personally and by name, to be released from the dominion of darkness and welcomed into the kingdom of God's beloved Son, the kingdom of light. And that's why Paul ends this letter the way he did. And it also shows how these ancient words apply to us today. Paul is not offering some general decontextualized spiritual advice. It's not tips and techniques to experience greater inner peace or to get God to do what we want him to do. Paul is reminding his friends in Colossae, his fellow foreign service officers, of who they really are and what they have been entrusted with by our King. He wants them to be fully aware of the challenges and difficulties of their dual citizenship, of being sent to a place without becoming of that place, without becoming absorbed by the local culture. So whether we're here for a few hours on Sunday mornings or everywhere else we go in the remaining 165 hours every week, we're on duty representing our King. And that's why Paul ends his letter the way he did. Devote yourselves to prayer. In other words, stay in constant contact and communication with HQ so that you can keep ourselves always aligned with our King's purposes. Pray for yourself. Pray for your fellow kingdom diplomats here and around the world. Pray for the people to whom the King is sending you. Be watchful. Be alert to the opportunities to tell or show a little something of God's kingdom. And also be alert to the ways you may be tempted to compromise, slack off, end up shaped and formed by the culture of the dominion of darkness rather than the kingdom of light. Be thankful. What a refreshing change from 21st century American life. But even more, be thankful. Stay grateful. Remain grounded in who God is, all that God has done for you and the world in Jesus Christ, and for the immense privilege and high calling of representing him. Pray for open doors of ministry. Be constantly asking headquarters to order your steps to arrange contacts and meetings, to open up conversations, to help you know what to say and how to say it. If you're not sure about how to start praying for yourself and your neighbors and people that God might want you to invite to fall kickoff or invite to church or just invite to have a cup of coffee or take a walk, I pulled together some of the ways that Paul prayed. And you can pick up this little handout on your way out if you'd like to. Use it as a template. Use it as a jumping off point for how you might be praying for the people to whom God has posted you and us. Paul wrote, "Be wise, make the most of every opportunity. Look for ways to move toward people in your world, as opposed to waiting for them to move towards you. Meet them on their turf. Don't insist they meet on ours. A door opened, even a crack, is better than one tightly shut. Make the most of every opportunity. Let your conversation be full of grace, seasoned with salt." You don't have to dump the whole load. That's like over-salting the food. Be patient, kind. Be open to people's stories and questions. Sometimes it's really good to listen more and tell less. Show more, which oftentimes opens the doors to being able to tell more, so that you can answer everyone. Good news, this does not mean that you have to be able to answer every and any question that somebody might throw at you. Remember, we are to represent Jesus, not a set of principles, laws, rules, or equations. It's perfectly fine to say, "Great question, I don't know," and at the same time, point them to the one who really does know. King Jesus wants Chatham Community Church to be a point of connection between heaven and earth, between Christ's kingdom and the lives of our friends and neighbors who dwell in the dominion of darkness, though they may know it not. And King Jesus' purpose is for each one of us to be a point of connection between our King and his kingdom and our neighbors. So fall kickoff coming up in September is a come and see, taste and see opportunity for friends and neighbors. And so here are some ways we want to be preparing together. I'd like to ask all of us to start praying for some specific people you might invite to fall kickoff or engage in some other kingdom representing way. Start praying for some people. Ask God to be opening their hearts and minds and yours. Ask God to arrange meetings, to initiate conversations, to set things up for you. It's amazing what happens when you ask God to do it and then find all the amazing ways that he does. So ask him to help you by setting up some divine appointments. Ask God to give you the wisdom and courage you need to walk through whatever doors he opens, even doors that don't look like doors or in places where you're not expecting a door to be. So please be praying for yourself, for each other, for Chatham Community Church, that we would become more and more a place and a people through whom anyone and everyone can hear the good news of our King and his kingdom, see something of what new life is like when Jesus is Lord, and find their place in Christ's family, Christ's body, and as members of the diplomatic corps of the kingdom of light. Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, thank you that it's a kingdom of light. Father, thank you that it's a kingdom of your beloved Son who has brought us out of darkness into your marvelous light. Lord Jesus, thank you for the privilege, the high calling of being adopted into your family, incorporated into your body, and commissioned into your diplomatic corps. Lord, help us to represent you well. Help us to know that we're always on duty, whether we're posting on social media or moving through the day, driving in traffic, talking politics or whatever. Remind us that we're representing you, and help us to do that faithfully and attractively and fruitfully. In your name we pray, Lord Jesus. Amen.